Chapter 4. Ira, I said, and I shook my head with surprise.
Where have you been?
The redhead asked as she walked toward me and looked me over.
We've missed you.
Somehow I doubt that. My brothers were never very fond of me.
Well, perhaps it's just me who misses you then.
She said, boldly, and her eyes locked with mine. Asta and Kaz started to giggle behind me, and I turned around to shoot them a look.
I see you're still hanging out with your new friends.
Ira smiled. Yeah, I nodded.
And three dogs.
Ira looked me up and down.
Didn't you only have one last time I saw you?
Oh, it's a new thing, I said, and I noticed I was rubbing the back of my neck nervously, which only made Asta and Kaz giggle even more.
I see.
The redhead smirked at me, and I had a feeling she knew Asta and Kaz were more than just friends.
When I sent you to Rhaemir for information, I wasn't betting you would have left with his daughter.
My eyes widened and I sputtered as I tried to think of what to say to that. Was Ira coming on to me? She looked partially amused, but I could feel something else behind that. Was she jealous?
Hello, Ira.
Asta said sweetly as she walked over to us. The dragons followed, and they each circled Ira's legs and sniffed at her boots until I shooed them away.
Hello.
Ira said, and she looked at the bubbly elf girl with the kind of amusement that came with knowing she could snap her like a twig. Asta was becoming a good fighter, that wasn't debatable, but I doubted she could go up against Ira. I'd seen the redhead warband lead her take out opponents 3 times her size, easily. She was a warrior, through and through, and that was one of the things I admired about her.
You should come to our home sometime. It's clear Wrath likes you, and Cass and I would love to get to know you some more.
I held back the urge to cover my face with my hand, but I couldn't stop my cheeks from turning red as the elf girl spoke.
It's pretty clear he likes me, isn't it?
Ira eyed me up and down and put her hand on her hip in the sexiest way.
Come have dinner with us soon. Wrath is a great cook.
He is he? He's never invited me over, although I have asked him to grab a nail with me.
Oh, we really should do that.
Asta said as she nodded.
Soon.
Kaz clarified. We are actually in the middle of a mission, Ira, I said with a forced smile. We really should be going.
Oh, yes, we do have things to do.
Asta smiled at the redhead.
It was very lovely seeing you again.
You as well.
Ira said with a sincere smile.
I might have to take you up on that offer for dinner sometime.
Please do.
It was good to see you, Ira. I cleared my throat nervously as I pulled on Asta's elbow to get her to come with me.
You too, Wrath.
Ira chuckled as she faded into the distance.
I don't see what you're so embarrassed about.
Asta said, and she looked at me with understanding yellow eyes.
Yeah, we can tell you like her. It's not a big deal. It's kind of cute, actually.
I thought so as well.
Asta grinned.
She is quite beautiful. She is your warband leader, correct?
That's right. I sighed, and I wished we would get off the subject. The girls might think my crush was cute, but I certainly didn't. And of course I didn't want to hurt their feelings at all.
She must be quite the warrior.
Kaz said, and her violet eyes twinkled with amusement. She is a wonder on the battlefield.
Didn't you see the way she was looking at you? It was quite clear she has feelings for you.
Asta nodded.
Does she have any magic?
I'm not sure, but I don't think so. I shrugged.
Would she grow more powerful if she bonded with you? I'm wondering if your dragon magic would do anything for her. I grew more powerful when you bonded with Wrath, Asta.
The beautiful elf hummed, but then the two women didn't speak any more of it. I smiled to myself, but didn't ask any further questions, since we had arrived at Ramir's shop. I was secretly incredibly pleased the girls thought Ira liked me. I'd wanted her for a long time, and it was nice to have my feelings validated. The bell chimed as we entered the shop, and once again we were surrounded by the strange books and things in jars that adorned the walls of Ramir's magical store.
Father!
Kas called out when we didn't see the man right away.
Caspia, is that you?
Ramir's voice shouted, and it sounded like he was panicked.
It's me, Father.
Kas said, and she looked at me curiously.
Is something wrong?
Is something wrong?
Ramir hissed as he came out of the back room, marched up to Kas, and pointed a long, bony finger right in front of her face.
Is something wrong, or you tell me something is wrong, young lady?
Father, what is wrong with you?
I've been very sick,
Ramir said with a frown.
In fact, I was just about to summon you again.
Oh, good thing we came when we did then.
We brought food,
Asta added, and she held up the basket for him to see.
Never mind the food. Is he all right?
Is who all right? I asked with a furrowed brow.
Guys, who all right? Wonderful.
Ramir muttered and rolled his eyes before he threw his arms up in exasperation.
Blah! Of course! I just heard what happened at the tournament. The poor little thing must be bruised beyond belief.
The tournament was a few days ago, I said, and I gestured behind me to where Blah stood. He's all healed up now.
Oh, he's here!
Ramir gasped as he pushed past the girls and I to crouch down and fawn over Blah.
Oh, I figured he would be home healing.
Ramir made sure to pet Inga and Ufe, too, but it was clear his attention was mainly on Blah.
Father, Blah is all healed up. He's fine.
Ah, tut! He's clearly distraught,
Ramir said as he lifted the little dragon into his arms and turned to face us. Honestly, I was surprised Ramir could hold Blah. He was probably close to 20 pounds at this point, but the old sorcerer didn't seem to mind. He oohed and ahed over Blah, who gave him puppy dog eyes in order to milk as many pets out of him as he could.
Oh, he's such a faker! You're stink! I'll cook him some healing cabbage soup.
All right. I shook my head. But I'm telling you, he's fine. Ramir walked past me with Blah in his arms, and I glared at the little dragon who had his head draped over Ramir's arm. Blah waited until the old man was looking away, and then he stuck his small lizard-like tongue out at me.
What?
Did you see that? My eyes widened as I turned to the girls.
I regret teaching him that now,
Kas said, and she bit her lip to try and hold back a laugh.
Are you all coming?
Ramir called out, and I heard the door behind us lock on its own.
At least now you don't have to cook dinner.
I smiled and followed the girls back to Ramir's study.
Father!
Kas said as we caught up with the old man.
We wanted to ask you about Blar's powers.
What about them?
Ramir asked as he set the blue dragon down on the soft green couch in front of the fire.
Oh, we found out at the tournament that Blah can teleport.
Yes, I heard about that.
Ramir nodded as he grabbed the large pot that hung beside the fire. I wanted to ask him how he had even found out about the tournament, but I'd learned not to question Ramir. The old man knew absolutely everything.
And now we've discovered he can also make portals to the different realms. Well, now, this is interesting,
Ramir said, and he paused what he was doing to look at me.
What is your question?
We were hoping you might have a way to help him focus that energy.
As of right now, he needs a portal near him in order to make one large enough for anyone to travel through. The ones he makes on his own are only large enough for himself.
I see.
Ramir's brow furrowed as he looked through the produce we'd brought him.
Is there something we can do to help him hone his abilities?
I'm not sure. Let me think about that.
Okay. I nodded. While we're here, though, I was wondering if you had any knowledge about a prophecy we heard about recently.
Ah, a
prophecy, you say? The old man's long eyebrows wiggled as he looked at me.
It's about Rat and the dragons. We met the great dragon Nidhogg, and he told Rat he had to save all the dragons.
Nidhogg said that.
Ramir's eyes glazed over, like he was considering Kaas's words carefully.
It seems you know what he was talking about,
Asta said with a smile.
The council told us the prophecy foretold the dragons would one day be enslaved by man. They said if Rat didn't save them all, then it would bring about Ragnarok.
Ah, is that all they said?
Ramir asked. Yes, I nodded. They thought it had already happened when the dragons were freed from Vinrar's grip.
Ah, of course it didn't happen then. The prophecy foretold dragons would be enslaved and used for their magic for centuries, and one day someone would come along and free them.
Centuries? That's so long,
Asta said with a frown. The council didn't mention that part of the prophecy. My brow furrowed.
No, they wouldn't. I can't say I'm surprised. Most people don't pay enough attention to prophecies, but you should never disregard a prophecy. Never! No matter how small of one it might seem.
So does that mean the dragons have been enslaved for 100 years?
Let me see,
Ramir said, and he muttered to himself as he counted on his fingers.
I'd say just about that. The dragon trade came about after Vinrar started dealing in them. He wasn't just a trainer. He was the original dragon trader as well.
My hands tightened into fists. The bastard!
What does the full prophecy say? Do you have a copy we can look at?
I have a copy in my head, child.
Ramir smiled and tapped his temple with a bony finger.
The prophecy goes as follows. Centuries of torment the scaled ones shall suffer until the appearance of the one true master. He will be called upon to free the great ones. It is a battle that must be won, for if he fails, the realms will fall and dragon fire will cleanse us all.
Dragon fire will cleanse us all.
That must have been what Baer and Rimbar were talking about. Ragnarok.
I would think so, yes.
Ramir agreed, as he tossed some vegetables into the pot.
It doesn't make any mention of me going to Helheim, though.
Well, that's not the prophecy. That's just a quest to tell you how to fulfill the prophecy.
I suppose that's correct. I nodded. I thought about the prophecy and how it foretold of a master. It was strange to think that was me. I'd lived such a boring life until recently, and I'd never had any dealings with magic, so it was hard to believe I was the one this prophecy foretold about. And then again, my relationship with my dragons felt like the most natural thing I'd ever experienced. Something about it simply felt right, though I didn't consider myself their master. We were a team, if anything. And that was the way I would continue to think about it, regardless of what the prophecy said.
Going to Helheim, are you?
Ramir asked, as his keen eyes locked onto me.
That's where Nidhogg sent us. Well, then, I'm sure he warned you about Garm.
What's Garm?
Not what. Who?
Okay, who is Garm?
Garm is the god of the gates of Helheim. He's a massive dog whose fur is always soaked in blood.
That shouldn't be an issue. If we can get Blar's powers to focus, then we can travel directly to the dungeon where Vinrar is being kept.
I'm afraid it won't be so easy.
Ramir frowned.
What do you mean?
Asta asked, and her head cocked to the side with curiosity.
No matter how you enter Helheim, you must get through Garm before you can walk with the dead.
Why? Why would it matter who goes to Helheim? Everyone there is already dead. Why would the gods care who wanted to go in?
I'm sure they don't. But Garm is a test. If you cannot defeat him, then you surely won't last fit in the gates of Helheim.
Oh.
I'm sure you all will be fine, though,
Ramir said, and he turned back to the vegetables he was cutting up for dinner. I chuckled at his apparent disregard for his daughter. I knew he understood she would be safe with me, but it was still amusing to watch a father virtually tell his daughter to have fun in the most dangerous realm of all. He'd raised her, though, so he knew her strengths and weaknesses. And if he thought she would be all right, then I was sure he was correct. Besides, I wasn't going to let anything happen to her, not as long as I could help it. Helheim might be full of the dead and giant dogs and creatures, but it wasn't going to get the better of me or my team. I'd make sure of that.
So, Rat,
Ramir said as he set the pot of stew above the flames.
You must be feeling quite overwhelmed with everything that's going on.
Well, it is a lot of pressure, I shrugged. But after I found out about the dragon trade, it's what I wanted to do anyways. I couldn't let them stay in slavery. I was going to free them, whether or not there was a prophecy.
Which is exactly why you'll be the one to fulfill the prophecy!
The old man smiled.
Why must your father constantly speak in riddles?
Asta whispered to Kaas.
Welcome to my life.
The strawberry blonde muttered.
Ah! I do not speak in riddles,
Ramir said with a roll of his eyes.
I simply am saying Rat's desire to help the dragons, regardless of the prophecy, is what makes him the perfect man to fulfill it. It's his destiny, prophecy be damned. His own choices are what have made him who he is today.
I smiled at the old man and watched as he settled onto the couch next to Bla. The little blue dragon crawled onto his lap for pets, while Inga and Ufe made their way over to him as well. Oh, pretty soon the little dragons were all fighting for a spot on Ramir's lap, and they eventually settled into one massive lump of tails and scales that hung over the sides of Ramir's legs and spilled out onto the couch. Seeing how sweet and loving my dragons were, it was difficult to think about the dragons in captivity. It was even more difficult to think about Vinrar's dragon. He must have trusted Vinrar with his life, and the man betrayed that trust completely. He beat the poor dragon into submission, and just the thought made me angry. These dragons were such sweet and beautiful creatures, and they didn't deserve such a terrible fate. To think dragons had been enslaved for 100 years was unimaginable. I knew it had been quite a while since Vinrar was alive, but I didn't think it was that long. I'd never stopped to consider when he died. I just knew it was before my time. Still, 100 years was far too long. I wasn't sure how long dragons lived for, but I knew it had to be several centuries at least, and that meant they were most likely dragons who'd lived out their whole lives in captivity. I thought about Vinrar's dragon again, and how long he'd been in the dungeon with the man who abused him. It had to be close to a century, and my heart ached for him. He'd defended himself and landed himself a fate just as bad as if he'd been alive. We all sat around the fire while Ramir's stew cooked, and the old man dozed off for a little bit before snoring himself awake and declaring dinner was finished. Ramir passed out bowls of the cabbage stew, and I took a large spoonful and put it into my mouth. It was earthy, with a touch of sweetness and spice, and the warmth of it filled my belly and made me smile. Ramir was always a wonderful cook, and I appreciated that he wanted to cook for us. He had no reason to really trust me, considering I'd only met Kaas a short time ago, and we had already bonded for life. He didn't seem to mind that, though. In fact, he seemed like he approved of it. He even seemed like he approved of my bonding with Asta as well. Though I don't really care whether or not he approved. It was our business, and his daughter was an adult. Still, his opinion mattered to me somewhat. Ramir was a very nice man, and he treated me with respect, even though I didn't have any lineage to speak of. He was also successful in his practices, and had joined us in our quest, even though he didn't have to. He did everything he could to try and assist us.
Ah! I think I've got it!
Ramir announced with a snap of his fingers.
Got what?
Kaas asked as she sipped on her soup.
I think I figured out how to Hornblar's powers.
How?
Well, I need to make him a necklace.
Ramir said as he jumped up from the couch and the little dragons hopped off his lap just in time. Ramir ran out to the front of his shop and started to gather supplies from the shelves. He grabbed a cauldron and put down some jars full of various nasty-looking things. One was just a green juice that smelled awful when he opened it, but the old man took a big whiff and said,
"Ah, yes, that's good. I have everything we need except one thing."
Ramir frowned as he looked over at us.
"What is it you need?"
"Ah, I need a tail feather."
"A tail feather from what?"
"From a Kingsbird. Ah, but I'm sure you can handle it."
Oh, shit. The Kingsbird was one of the most dangerous and violent birds in Asgard. It was massive in size, with huge talons that were said to be as sharp as Odin's sword. They didn't even live in trees like normal birds. They lived in caves underground. They were also known to eat full-sized deer, and not just eat them like scavengers, but hunt them as well. They were strange creatures that didn't even fly very often, so they typically would use their giant legs to run around and hunt their prey. They were quick as well as strong, and in order to get one of the tail feathers, we would have to go and seek one of the birds out, since they were nocturnal and not seen very often. I'd heard of hunters going after the birds, and, well, not all of them had made it back.
That sounds dangerous.
Asta remarked as she glanced at me.
What is the king's bird, anyways?
It's said to be one of the most dangerous animals in Asgard. Blas scoffed then and looked at me with determination in his eyes.
You all will have to go to the caves.
Do you just need one tail feather?
I only need one to make the amulet, but I would prefer to have more than that, so I can use them for future spells.
So you want an entire tail feather bundle? I asked with a raised eyebrow.
Well, if it's not too much trouble.
No trouble at all, I said with a playful smirk.
Good!
The old man smiled.
I didn't think it would be.
We should get prepared. The birds are nocturnal, so they will be out this evening.
Well, it sounds good to me.
Good luck!
Ramir said, and he waved at us as we exited his shop.
We'll be back in the morning for the amulet!
Kaas called over her shoulder with a laugh.
Ah! I almost forgot to mention!
Ramir said as he stood in the doorway.
It's mating season, so do be careful!
With that, the old man gave us one final wave and a smile, and then he closed the door after us. The girls and I looked around at one another, and I sighed. An already difficult task had just become damn near impossible, but I wasn't about to back down. It was time to hunt some Kingsbirds.